Give us a second, let's check the feedback here.
Testing. Are we okay now?
Yes. Yeah. Good.
No feedback? Brilliant. Okay, so welcome everybody, and thanks. I'm delighted to be back in the hot seat again. So you'll just have to bear with me. This was all a bit sort of last minute, basically told I was chair yesterday. But sure, we'll give it a go and see how we get on. So first of all, we'll just go through the script that we're used to so much now. So I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regard to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for the second time will result in you being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in any vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on your computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegated microphone if you're physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer and a seconder. This should be done by using the instant messenger feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so. Oh, okay. If two members ask to propose, the first member having indicated through instant messenger will become the proposer, and the seconder having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask if the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via instant messenger feature so we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay, so have we any apologies?
Through the chair, Councillor Guy Stokes.
Okay,
Councillor. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, Chair, I haven't been advised of any other apologies.
Okay, thank you very much. And Johnny, you wanted to come in on something?
Yeah, Chair, if you don't mind, if we could maybe use this opportunity to introduce Andrew Castles to the committee. Andrew's in the chamber with us today. You might not be able to see his face on the screen. I don't think he's connected up to Teams, but he is. Do beg your pardon. Andrew has been appointed from Strategic Investment Board to assist this directorate over the next 6 months with a number of significant issues, and he'll be a great asset and value to both the committee here and to the directorate management. Andrew comes from an extensive local government background, so he's aware of the issues and hope we can add real value in this duration here. So can you just use that opportunity, Chair? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Also as well, Andrew, I know I said it to you earlier, but again, thank you very much for coming, and you're very welcome. Thank you. So if we just move on to item three then, so this is just the action sheet. If we just go through it page by page. So Oh, yes, sorry. And have we any conflicts of interest? Sorry, item two.
Through the chair, I have none at all. Thank you.
Anybody else? No. Okay, thank you. So moving on then to item three. We'll just go through this page by page. So page one, page two, page three, page four, page five, and is that it? Page six? We need a proposer and seconder. Can we have a proposer and seconder? So we've got, Dermot is proposing. Have we a seconder? And Aoife for seconding. Thank you very much. And have we any matters arising from these?
Have you missed my cue there, Chair?
Sorry, yeah, I did. Sorry, Charlie. Yeah, come ahead.
Right, it's to do with that report there and the meeting with Rivers Agency. Is there any update on that? I raised the issue about the Newry Estate and Newry Canal, and I had asked the council to write or meet with them. So is there any feedback from that particular meeting?
Sure, I can come in on that one.
Yeah.
We have met with colleagues from Rivers Agency along the stretch of the canal that Councillor Casey was referring to in around the Wynn Industrial Estate. There's a particularly difficult stretch of the canal at that location that we are not able to maintain just as well as we would hope to because of the depths of the water and the inability of our boat to get to that point. Rivers Agency do have equipment that could be used for that purpose. Now, it was a useful meeting that we had. We were able to identify exactly where the maintenance responsibilities for Rivers Agency started and finished. They were able to advise us that their responsibility did not extend to that part of the canal, but that did not forego them from giving assistance in this particular situation. Although the timing of when this maintenance would be carried out would be important because there's fish spawning during this particular time of the year, so Rivers agencies are keen, are willing to look at assisting us with that particular stretch of the canal, but that wouldn't happen until after that period of time, which they're restricted access for maintenance, and that will be finishing in around about April next year, which is when we can perhaps get Rivers Agency, if they're agreeable, to come in and assist. In the meantime, we can carry out as much maintenance as we can using our own equipment. There will be a level of dieback of that vegetation as we go into the winter period, but we will need to address it as we come into the springtime from April next year, and hopefully we'll do that in partnership with Rivers Agency.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Can I come in there? Sorry, Chair. I mean, people just don't seem to be listening. Don't mean that disrespectfully, Kevin. I'm well aware of where council's responsibility begins and ends and where Rivers Agency's responsibility begins and ends. My concern was put from Rainey's Locks right out to Fern's Locks. And I don't know how many times I've said that. I know that our council are responsible up to Rainey's Lock, and I know the difficulties we have with the limited resources we have and machinery we have, and I know it's problematic, but my concern was, and I knew that our council were working diligently to try and improve the outlook of the Newry Canal in front of the Wynn Industrial Estate, but my concern was from Rainey's Locks right out to Fern's Locks.
Okay, Kevin, do you know?
Not even mentioned there.
Specific.
Sure, if we've misunderstood Councillor Casey's issues, then that's something we pick up again with Rivers Agency, so it's helpful to have that clarification.
Okay, so Kevin, will you pick up then with Councillor Casey then and try and get that nailed down then for him?
We will indeed.
Okay, sure. Thank you very much. Happy enough, Councillor Casey?
Thanks, Chair. Thank you.
No bother. Okay, so then on to item four. So this is over to you, Kevin.
Thanks, Chair. This is a report on the Christmas Illumination and Celebrations Group meeting, and there's a number of recommendations arising from this. So the group met on the 11th of October, and I've attached to the report as Appendix 1 the action sheet from that meeting. We're asking the committee to review the action sheet and to approve the recommendations under section 2.2 to 2.6. Just in brief, I can go through those main recommendations. So the committee members are aware of our Sustainable Christmas Tree Programme.
Not everything has been success, and we know that we've had some dieback in some of those Christmas trees. And we agreed in August that we replaced three or four trees which had died back, and those trees were in Balik, Drummer Road, Newcastle and Ballykinner. Since the August meeting, we have two further trees that we need to replace, one in Annalong and one in Ballymartin. We're currently sourcing the sustainable Christmas trees at present, but for a range of reasons, there may be some difficulty in getting them in time for Christmas. And as part of the meeting, we discussed an alternative option if that happens, and that would be to procure small cut Christmas trees for those particular locations where we are planning the sustainable Christmas tree. Secondly, it's just to advise the committee that we have identified, we still continue with 12 large Christmas trees, cut Christmas trees. We've secured them from Forest Service in one of their forests in County Fermanagh. And they'll be for the locations Newry, Warren Point, Ballyhens, Camlagh, Hilltown, Newton Hamlin, Jonesboro, Venice, Mullabon, Dorsey, Silverbridge. And we have an additional one as a spur because depending on weather, we do find one from one year to the next that we can lose some trees during that period. The next item, we discussed the very old spur Christmas illuminations that we were storing in the Albert Basin store in Newry, which was subject to a fire. This had been reported previously to the committee about how we had those Christmas illuminations there, and we gave consideration to repairing them and maintaining them as a spur. But given the recent fire, the damage that has been caused with them, the recommendation from the action sheet is that we would dispose of those ones rather than pay the cost of having them cleaned, with the lack of certainty that we could do that completely, but also then the potential for the repairs. So given their age, we feel that it would not be value for money to do that, and that we would dispose of them in accordance with current regulations. Next item, it's an issue that is raised a number of times in terms of trying to extend the Christmas lighting in some parts of Downpatrick. We have English Street, which receives no Christmas lighting. Now, we've looked at that, and we have two proposals that we're currently working on. We have our own art centre, which is directly across from English Street and faces up into English Street. And it's a prime building. If that we lit that up, it would pass that Christmas sort of feel into English Street as well. And we're able to get some external funding to help us with that. And the proposal is that we place curtain lighting along that front facade of the Down Art Centre. The second part of that plan is there is a very small, attractive little square at the bottom of English Street called De Courcy Square. It has got some nice trees around that square, two in particular, quite tall, almost Christmas-like. And the proposal is that we would seek to light those trees up in the same way that we light up some other trees within the Downpatrick area. Sure, we'll be working as officers towards completing both those actions. The next item, or the last item that we look for recommendation for approval on, is that we've been approached by Dundrum Community Association, who have to be applauded for their efforts in terms of trying to move forward themselves to provide their own Christmas illuminations. And they're seeking some support from the council. So they're looking to put the infrastructure in themselves this year. But what they're saying to the council is, if we have spur Christmas pole illuminations that we can loan them for the Christmas period, then they would seek that we would do that. And as officers, we do feel that we're likely to have some spur, because you may remember we're buying new illuminations, particularly in Monaghan Street, for Monaghan Street in Newry and the Mall in Newry. So those ones that we've not been using this year from those areas, we could potentially divert to for use of Dundrum, and we would do that through a license agreement. Lastly, Chair, just to advise, I mean, there's always creep involved in terms of these different Christmas projects, and over the years, things get added on, and very rarely do things drop off. So we're finding that our budget is under pressure this year in terms of the Christmas illuminations for that creep, in terms of the additional sites we're taking on, but also higher than expected repair and replacement costs that we have this year. And also some logistical issues that arose now since the loss of the Albert Basin store chair. So that's the report with the recommendations as outlined within it from section 2.2 to 2.6 for approval.
Okay, thank you very much, Kevin. So I see we have a proposer and a seconder in there, but I'll just take the questions first. So first question there from Councillor Casey.
Thanks very much again, Chair. Maybe not necessarily justified in raising the issue here. Maybe I should have mentioned it to my colleagues who are on the Christmas Illuminations Committee, but it's the issue of the Newry Crib, and the Crib is a centre part of our Christmas celebrations. And I know it used to be on Hill Street side, on Hill Street, and was vandalised, and then it was moved to the side garden and cathedral behind closed gates and a perspex sheet. But I think it's time that we petition now the administrator of the cathedral again to open up the garden and to move that crib back and allow people, men, women and children, in to visit the crib freely rather than stare at it behind a perspex sheet behind locked gates of the cathedral. I think it's time we actually put it up to the administrator of the cathedral and say, listen, this is what we want. The crib's part of centre part of our Christmas celebrations. Open the garden, push the crib back and let the people walk in and out. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Councillor Hanlon?
Thank you, Chair. I know I'm not a committee member, but I appreciate you letting me in. I just wanted to come in under item 2.5 there and Kevin's report on the Downpatrick lights. I just want to commend him. He did a lot of work in the background, especially with businesses and listening to the feedback of councillors, and I think that's to be applauded. It might seem like a small thing and in the grand scheme of what council does, but I know that the businesses are very appreciative of it, so just wanted to give them that credit. Thank you.
Absolutely, Councillor. Thanks very much for that. And we're down then to Councillor Curran then. Yeah. Kevin, can you turn your mic up?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think it has been ready by Ms. Hanlon said about the English Street lights they got this year, with the help of Kevin and his officers they got there, and with communications or talking to the people in English Street, that they would do a certain amount this year and hopefully would extend it onto full English Street next year together. But I want to thank Kevin for the work he's done in relation to this year.
Kevin, are you all right for me just to bring in Councillor Finnan here, and then if you wouldn't need to come back to any of those points? Okay, Councillor Finnan.
Thanks, Chair. Quick question. Cross McLean and Colliville, where I do believe we're on the list for a replacement instead of a Christmas tree, and I don't see it on the list now, so a bit of clarity on that if they're still included.
Okay, thank you. Kevin, happy enough to come back?
Yes, Chair. Let me start on the last first move. I'm not aware of an issue with the current sustainable tree in Cross McLean and Colliville. Councillor, is there some concern about their health?
Yeah, Yes, we had a meeting on site for both Colliville and Cross McLean. I did think Cross McLean was on the list originally in a previous meeting, but the health has certainly deteriorated, and I think Colliville was I think it was Aidan Malham was out visiting, had said that it was dead, and the one in Cross McLean certainly was deteriorating.
Chair, I wasn't aware of that, and it's something that I can take up with the grounds maintenance manager and see. We haven't actually ordered the sustainable trees yet, if the committee is minded to, then if we need to add those two on, we'll do that. It's disappointing. That if that's what's happening in terms of the dieback, it's higher than any of us would really have wanted. But Chair, with the Indulgence Committee, I'll do that. Thanks to Councillor Hanlon and Councillor Kern in terms of the comments in relation to the English Street. I do hope that we're able to achieve those things that we're setting out to do, and I think it will give a good display for that general area. In relation to the comments of Councillor Casey, is that a direction that the committee wants that we would write to the administrator to seek the opening up of that area to allow access to the crib? Chair.
Chair, can I just follow up on that? I hope you don't mind. Is that okay?
I'd need a proposer and seconder then for that.
Just want to withdraw the piece that we're said, put it up to the administrator. That sounded very aggressive. But we should be writing to the administrator or the parish council and ask them to reconsider.
Okay, are you wanting that to be a proposal, Casey? Yeah.
Yes, I do indeed.
Okay, have we anybody to? Are we? Yeah. I'll be a seconder, Councillor Clark. Okay.
Can you just check these two councillors will help to propose your second to the report as well?
Are you both happy to propose and second the report as well then?
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Okay, thanks very much.
Chair, sure, I just have a comment. Just.
Sorry, I have a thing that's floating across the screen here. Sorry, Councillor Clark, I didn't see you.
No, you're dead on. Thanks, Chair. And no, just to say, I'd just like to thank the officers for their work in, you know, in regards limited budget as well, as has been pointed out, but trying to find a solution for, you know, different towns. I think it's important that all the towns, you know, are bright and cheerful and welcoming for the public and to boost the trading in the town. So particularly the dramatic issue with the conservation type area, and the difficulties with putting lights up, to find a solution there, I think is very welcome. And the Dundrum Community Association are to be applauded as well, because they're trying to work away themselves as well alongside council. So very happy to second that, Chair.
Thanks very much, Councillor Clark. And do please apologise if me. I have a grey floating box that goes across my comment or my chat screen from time to time, so forgive me. Okay, so Councillor McKevitt then.
Yeah, thanks very much, and welcome back to the hot seat, Catherine. Just want to clarify, at the Christmas Illuminations meeting, Kevin, there was a discussion, myself and Councillor McKee talked at some length on, and that was to do with the fire at the Storeyard in Albert Basin, and where our spare Christmas lights were contaminated with asbestos. We made a proposal that the lights be disposed of because the companies that would be cleaning them couldn't give the guarantee that they would be 100% for use, and I just want clarity that process is now going through, that they will no longer be used.
Do you want to come back on that, Kevin?
Yes, Chair, I can give that commitment that is the case, and that is the recommendation within the report. I suppose we haven't actually carried out any sampling in terms just to be definitive in terms of the level of contamination, but given that the building did contain an asbestos corrugated roof, then it is more than likely that is indeed the case, and I agree that that's the appropriate action to take in this situation.
Okay, thank you very much. So we're just going to go on to item 5 now. So this is the report on Council Site Receiving Green Flag Award. So this is over to Kevin again.
Sure. This is for Nodi, and it is a positive news story. So the committee is to be advised that 5 of the council sites have now received the Green Flag Award for 2021-2022. And we have also received the Heritage Green Flag Award for 2 sites, Newry Canal and Warren Point Municipal Park. The Green Flag has been awarded to Warren Point Municipal Park, Sleat Gullion Forest Park, Delamont Country Park, Newry Canal and Kilbroney Park. It's the first year that Delamont Park Country Park has received the Green Flag Award. The others have received it in previous years. Attached to the report at Appendix 1 is a press release issued by Tidy NI, who are involved in the organisation. This award indicates 84 parks and open spaces across Northern Ireland have been recognised with the Green Flag Award this year, which is a credit to all the other councils involved in this and all other organisations who are also involved. The Green Flag Award started back in 2008. It's an internationally recognised certification for environmental quality management for parks and open spaces. Green Flag accreditation recognises excellence in the management of public spaces, and this is awarded and administrated locally by Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful. The Heritage Green Flag Award is that step further, which is an additional award for sites which possess a unique heritage features. I think everyone will agree in the chamber that Warren Point Municipal Park and Newry Canal certainly meet those criteria, and it's great that they're being recognised across Northern Ireland. As such, it's interesting to note that there's only 8 sites in Northern Ireland who actually have that particular award, so Newry and Moran District Council has two of the eight sites in Northern Ireland which have the Herd's Green Flag Award. So, Chair, it is for Council to note, and they can read more in relation to that in the attached press release issued from Tidy NI.
Okay, thanks very much, Kevin. That certainly is good news. So, with a couple in there. So, Councillor Andrews, you've proposed, but you also have a comment there. If you want to comment.
Indeed. Thanks very much, Chair. First of all, Kevin, I'd like to thank you very much for presenting the report, and I do agree wholeheartedly. It's a good news story for the council area, and particularly I'm pleased. I'm over the moon about Dalymount Country Park near Kilkenny. As I say, it's one of my favourite places for walking, and it's good to see it achieving recognition, and also other parks and venues across the whole district who've got recognised with the Green Flag and also with other awards. So again, it's a good news story, and congratulations to all concerned for all their hard work in making this all possible and happen. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Casey, then.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to add my comments too, as well, to the Newry Canal winning the Heritage Green Flag, and just justification and reward for the work that has been carried out by our staff over the last period of years on the canal. One question: has the award been presented yet, Kevin? And as chair of Newry DEA, I wouldn't mind being involved in it if it hasn't already happened. If it has already happened, I'm sort of disappointed that as chair of the DEA that I wasn't invited. So maybe you can clarify that for me, would you? Thanks.
You want to come in on that, Kevin?
Well, sure. If it's happened, I wasn't invited either. So, but we'll find out and come back and take on board the comments of Councillor Casey in terms of wishing to be part of that presentation. What happens if it? And again, if it hasn't happened, we can make our own. Thanks.
Well done, Jim.
Thank you, Councillor McKevitt.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. And just want to add my congratulations to all that got their awards, but particularly for the Green Flag and for the Newry Canal and for the Warren Point Municipal Park. I have to say that this is a credit to everybody involved in it. I do know that there is a robust criteria that has to be made out of a very, very high standard. And as Kevin rightly pointed out, for to get two of the eight sites in the region which have been awarded this is really a credit to our council and staff and all those who use our parks as well. So it's, for a change, we're getting a good news story. So well done.
And Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Catherine. Just to say, I welcome the awards. I think it's, you know, it really boosts a number of them areas, you know, in regards to tourism and locals as well, you know, how well the beaches are kept. And the other heritage awards as well. But in regards to future projects, what's the process of maybe looking at other areas, you know, to build them up also? I'm thinking of even the likes of Newcastle Harbour area, where you've great heritage in around that area. You've also got good input from local schools and community groups for cleaning up the area, the beach and that. Is there a possibility of looking at maybe including Newcastle Harbour maybe for future years? I'm thinking of the medieval fish traps. You've got the schedule monuments, the harbour itself, and also the rock pool, and also a World War II lookout post. So a lot of heritage in that area could be compatible then with, you know, working with, continuing to work with community groups and schools, and then apply for the award. I understand we can't apply for the Blue Flag Award for Newcastle in general, you know, because of different issues in regards to nitrates and phosphates and whatever, and runoff from waterways. But it would be good if we could give a boost to the local community in regards to maybe applying for the Green Flag Award. Just maybe the process, Kevin.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Sure, we'll undertake to investigate that, and I'm sure the Tidy and I are always encouraging the extension of their awards, and we can have a conversation with them to see how that site would fit within their criteria, and we can update the committee in relation to that conversation.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Chair.
So, Councillor McKee, sorry.
Yes, Chair.
Sorry.
No, it's very welcome to hear so many other places that have won this Green Flag Award, and they're obviously those type of places are places that are well attended. People will certainly go to see somewhere nice. It's just a reason why I'm speaking. It's just unfortunate that Kilkeel is far away, very far away from that, because we have a river in Kilkeel which is an absolute eyesore. It's been talked about more times than enough. It is a section of river that's designated by Rivers Agency, and I have mentioned it at our Mourne DA meeting, and we are hoping, I'm not sure who's going to take this, but maybe at least we could get a meeting. We've had meetings on that section of river before, because Rivers Agency had met and they were responsible, and all Rivers Agency are interested in is the fact that the river flows. It doesn't matter what is in its way as long as it flows. And it's one of the most biggest eyesores ever you've seen. There's been more photographs put up about it. It's half closed with rubbish and weeds and trolleys. There's all sorts of things. It's a short stretch. And maybe I'd ask through this meeting here that we could maybe organise some type of a meeting with the various agencies again, and hopefully as council. I know there's been a piece of ground, a wee walkway down in the river has been or going to be purchased by this council, which gives us full control towards the river. But then the river is another issue too. So perhaps I would love to see someday that it's no longer designated by Rivers Agency and our own council have control and we are fit to go in and pin it up. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you going to pick up with Harald then about those points then? Pick up afterwards,
yeah,
Kevin?
Yeah, I'm happy to pick up with Harald. We have similar issues with the Clanry River as it passes through Newry with shopping trolleys. Responsibility, it's not an easy one. Rivers Agency, they will hang on to the fact that their main concern is the prevention of flooding. So if there's something in the river, as long as it's not causing a potential flood issue, they won't get involved. We've had several joint exercises over the years to remove waste from the Newry River, but it's about partnership working to achieve that, and happy to discuss that with Harald outside the meeting.
Okay, thanks very much, Kevin, and thanks, Harald. So I see there that we have a proposer and seconder for noting from Councillor Andrews and Councillor McKevitt. Okay. So on to item 6 then. So that's the report on social enterprise partnership offer for planting of trees and council land, and that's over to Kevin again.
Purpose of the report is to make the committee aware of approaches that have been made by a social enterprise as a not-for-profit organisation which is seeking to link up the council with individuals who wish to have a tree planted on council land. So that's somebody who perhaps wants to make their contribution to the climate change adaptation plans that are taking place, but don't actually have the land in which to plant trees on. So they'll try to link up with someone who has the land and has a desire to plant trees, and that will be ourselves. The not-for-profit organisation is the go-between. So would make the introductions and allow that to take place. This project would work alongside the council's tree strategy, which we're hoping to bring back to the committee either next month or in December for final approval. So officers in principle support the proposal, but we don't feel that we can just go straight to one organisation. And what we're proposing to do is to issue an expression of interest to form a partnership with a not-for-profit organisation for such a scheme. The agreement would be for an initial 2-year period, but may be extended for a further 2 years subject to council approval. Under the scheme, it would be the officers to determine the suitable sites and the tree species to be planted. Any agreement to be formalised through a licence agreement drawn up with the council's legal advisers. Chair, the committee's asked just to note the content of the report and to approve the recommendations as I've outlined.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Kevin. Councillor Curran, do you have a question?
Very briefly, Chair, I would like to ask, I totally welcome this, so do like out there in the situation as far as street planning is concerned. And always wondering here, in relation to council grounds, if there was an expression of interest from some people, you know, to wish to plant a tree in, say, in Dunpatrick area, could parts of Dunleith Park be used to plant that tree?
If we do go ahead with this, part of the work that the officers would do would be identify the sites that would be used. And so if Dunleith Park is potentially a site, but I couldn't give a commitment at this stage, it'll fall very much within the plans that we have within the tree strategy. But this would be not individuals approaching the council as such, but it would be a sort of a broker who would be in the middle, and the not-for-profit organisation who they would approach, and then they would then bring that request to the council. The not-for-profit organisation would have a website where people taking part in it could remain involved within the project and have some sort of knowledge of in terms of where the tree was planted, and have the opportunity to look at that if that area was open to the public.
Well, thank that, Chair, you know, and in relation to how they go about it. But I was just thinking that now at the present time in Dunpatrick, we're going through a whole re-looking at Dunleith Park in a whole different way. There's lots of things we could do with it. And I was just thinking about the Armour Park in Belfast, you know, where they have trees in there and still have other facilities there too as well. But I just wanted to know, could it be used if at all possible? That's all I was asking. But at the present time, I think that
Johnny will come in on that.
Yeah, Chair, as I understand, that's been led by the AHC Directorate. So if the committee is willing, I'm more than happy to have a discussion with the Director responsible and just pass those comments on.
Okay, so Councillor Andrews, you wanted to make a comment. I see you've seconded it there, but you wanted to make a comment.
Yes, thanks so much, Chair. More or less, I'm happy to support the recommendations outlined in Section 3 of the paper. I think it's a very innovative approach and something different, and again, I'm fully supportive of what the officers are going to do to examine and look into this further, so I'm happy to second the paper.
Thank you. So, Councillor Murphy, you have a question?
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and for many with your position. It's just a wee bit of clarity. I know they said it's council land, but would that be at any time extended to maybe community-owned land as well?
I don't think so, Chair. It would be our own lands that this programme would be for. The council would not be involved in planting trees on non-council-owned land. There's potential for other community organisations to take part in that scheme. So, for instance, if a community organisation has land that they would like to have trees planted on, but they don't actually have the funding to do that, then by them partnering up with a not-for-profit organisation, they too could carry that project forward. That's one of the advantages in this, in that it's the person who makes the request who will actually pay for the tree itself. The council will plant it. Same for a community organisation. If they're able to join in with a not-for-profit organisation, they too could avail of that. The not-for-profit organisation may have certain criteria that has to be met, such as the extent of land available, but that's something that only could be clarified once they discuss it with the organisation itself.
Okay. And finally then, Councillor Clark.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, and I'm happy to propose we accept the officer's recommendation, and I would like to congratulate the rollout of the tree strategy. I think we can all see right across the region the number of trees that are being planted by council, and a not-for-profit organisation will enhance the work undertaken by council and assist us to get more trees in the ground. I think that we're all conscious of the climate emergency and what we have to do, and I think council are now leading the way in regards to improving the tree population in our region. So I think anything that can enhance that, and I like the not-for-profit organisation because they can work with community groups also to ensure we get the best coverage we possibly can. So happy to propose to you.
Okay, lovely. So for the record, that Councillor Clark has proposed and Councillor Andrews has seconded. So if we're moving on then to item 7, so this is the provision of restricted access litter bins, and this is over to you, Sinead.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision, and the purpose of the paper is to provide details to members on the proposed rollout of restricted access litter bins across the district. And this is identified as a need to prevent primarily birds from accessing litter bins, foraging for food and creating litter. A survey of potential locations for these bins was undertaken, with potential locations having been identified by members, staff members, and through an analysis of complaints from the public. The proposed locations for the restricted access litter bins are identified in Appendix 1 attached. Through the survey, 79 litter bins have been identified to be replaced with the restricted litter bins, and it's anticipated these will be rolled out immediately with the aim of being completed by the end of March 2022. An additional requirement has been identified to replace flaps that are no longer present on litter bins in the Inner Bay car park in Dundrum. And I just note that where bins are part of a current or upcoming environmental improvement scheme, such as the Newcastle Promenade or Warren Point, they are going to be delivered separately. And in terms of sustainability, any litter bins that are removed will be assessed and reused where possible. So members are asked to approve the proposed plan for the location of the restricted access litter bins.
Thank you very much, Sinead. Personally, I'm delighted to see this, although there isn't any in Rowallan, I'm definitely delighted because I do know that seagulls cause an awful lot of problems, certainly for those seaside towns and villages. So I see we have a proposer and seconder, but we'll take Councillor McKay, if you want to come on in for your question.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And all of this is very welcoming, particularly along the coast there, because obviously birds, seagulls, what have you, it always creates a problem. I just see one of the areas that not included is actually my own, and the very road I live on, the Moor Road in Kilkeel. I had raised it with Peter White, and I understood a bin was location all sorted for it, but I don't see it on the list here. And it's a very, very busy road, because we have the Collins Aerospace Factory at the top of it, and there's almost 1,000 works in that place. So they would, every day there could be 300 will walk that road down to the bottom, back up again. So, and I have to admit that they're very responsible people, because no later than about 3 weeks ago, they had a litter pick there down on the beach, and there must have been at least 30 doing that work. So they were very responsible, I felt. And I thought, you know, to me at least, they would need rewarded by a simple bin, because I do hear of people saying there's litter being carried down the road, but lunch carried down the road, but nothing taken back up again. But I wouldn't like to accuse them of anything at all like that. But I know there's people who walk dogs and things, and they're disgruntled with the fact that they have to take their dog bag down the road and then back up again to their home again and know where to put it. So it might be worthwhile taking a look at that. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Councillor McKay, do you want to come back in on that,
sir? Yes, thank you, Chair. Councillor McKay, this list is for the restricted access litter bins. So I will raise the question back in relation to the area you have identified. What I would expect that it's going to be serviced separately with the non-restricted access litter bins. So I'll follow that up and speak with you outside the meeting.
Forgive me there, Sinead. I noticed that Killaloe is actually listed on there whenever I said about Rowallan, so I'll take that one on the chin. Proves me to have a wee look at something before I say something. So anyway, Councillor Andrews, do you want to come on in?
I do indeed, Chair. Councillor Devlin was in touch with me earlier on with some queries about the new bins in Newcastle, but what I've done was I've forwarded an email on to Johnny Kevin and to yourself, Sinead, with some of the points that she has raised. So we'll look forward to reply, so we'll update Councillor Devlin. But also in relation, I'll probably take my matter up with you about general litter bins outside the meeting. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Councillor Andrews. So happy enough there that Councillor Curran has proposed and Councillor Clark has seconded.
Yeah, sure. Could I just make a few comments?
Yes, okay.
No, well, they do propose it, and I know Johnny's sitting beside you there, and he knows that this has come as welcome news to myself, because I have been on for this for quite a length of time. These type of bins, especially along the seaside and the coastal areas, but our glass has indeed been a lot of bother here with these the bins that we already got, because we've got a lot of educated gulls in our glass, and they'll be able to come down and take the food out and the stuff out to get there. No matter what type of bin you've got, no matter how many times you empty it, they still come along and get there. So this is very welcome news, especially for myself. And the only thing about it, when did you say they were going to be installed?
Go ahead, Johnny.
I mean, subject to the council approving. This will be installed immediately on a timetable up to the end of March next year. So the plan would to have them in advance of the summer season, when we have our greatest impact, unfortunately, from seagulls.
So does that mean does that mean that they'll only be installed away at the start of the new year? Or am I reading this wrong?
No, Chair. Subject to the council approving the minutes of this committee. At its meeting in November, we would plan to start the implementation of those immediately. That timetable will run up until the end of March next year.
Oh, right, sorry. Thank you very much, Chair. I'm delighted the news.
Happy enough. Okay. Okay, so items 8 and 9, we need to go into closed session. So items 8 and 9 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act NI 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So I'm wondering, can I have a proposer and a seconder to go in the closed session? I just said on my list 8 and 9. So that's why that's okay. So just for clarity, so this is items 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 and 13 we're going into closed session for. Proposer and seconder where I'm on the list by Councillor Andrews and seconded then by Councillor Murphy. Thank you. So if we go on then to item 8 then.
Second,
you second it. Thank you very much. Councillor Murphy.
So we're now in open session. So item 8, minutes of ARCS in committee, joint committee meeting Thursday the 26th of August 2021 on a proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor McGuinness. It was agreed to note the ARC 21 in committee joint committee meetings minutes held on Thursday the 26th of August 2021. It was further agreed on the proposal of Councillor McKevitt, seconded by Councillor Casey, that representatives from both ARC 21 and Regen be invited to make presentations to the Neighbourhood Services Committee. Item 9, biodiversity pedestrian collection mower. On the proposal of Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to approve the recommendations contained in the business case for the purchase of Ride-On Collection Biodiversity Mower as per option 3, i.e. purchase high-powered compact collection mower to enable biodiverse and rewilded grass cuttings with aid of VERA funding. Item 10, fleet replacements, capital. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to approve the business case and economic appraisal as per Appendix 1, contained in report dated 19th of October 2021, from Ms. Sinead Murphy, Acting Assistant Director, Waste Management, for the replacement of refuge collection vehicles that have been identified as requiring priority replacement by the 31st of March 2023. Item 11, fleet operator's licence, fleet management action plan. On the proposal of Councillor McKee, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed to approve the fleet management action plan, updated 14th of October 2021. Item 12, report residual waste price increase. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed to note the price increase for the collection, treatment and processing of household recycling centres residual waste, as set out by Section 2.1 of the report dated the 19th of October 2021, from Ms S. Murphy, Acting Director of Waste Management. And then item 13, safety training, reference work on public highway. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to approve the business case to procure a contract for delivery of Lantra Sector Scheme 1-2D training. So if we move on then to item, we're going to take item 14, 15, 16, 17 and 18 all together. So these are just for noting. So have we any questions on items, any matters arising on items 14 to 18? And if not, then can I have a proposer and seconder for him, please? Proposed by Councillor McGuinness. And a seconder, please. And seconded by Councillor Hearn. Hearn. You want to go through page by page? No. No, I'm happy enough. Okay, listen, thanks very much. And thanks very much, people, for putting up with me and my... Getting new to this again, and my little grey box that was annoying me. So thank you very much. Listen, take care and stay at home for those who are going home.
Cheers. Good job, Chair.
Cheers. Thank you,
Chair. Thanks, Chair. Thanks so much.